Well, we're going to talk Danish. I'm not speaking Danish. I don't. But we're going to talk Danish this morning. We have the mayor of Elkhorn in here with us. Dan Jens joins us here this morning. And we're going to talk a little bit about all things Danish, I guess. Thanks for coming
in. All things that we know about. Thanks for having me.
Everything we know and some things we didn't realize that we knew. Hey, coming up on Monday night, the folks up in Elkhorn are going to enjoy a screening of a movie called Danes on the Prairie. It was something that was done last spring by a film crew that came over here from Denmark. I guess maybe they wanted to kind of compare and contrast what the old country as opposed to the new country is kind of like, and you had a chance to be a part of that too. Is it pretty exciting for folks back here to get a chance to see this?
Oh yeah, very exciting. If they haven't seen it online yet, yeah, they'll really enjoy it. They did a good job of it as far as mixing. You know, it's sad and it's happy and it's, you know, it's funny and very informational too.
And subtitled. So.
What's that?
And
yes,
subtitled.
It will be subtitled in English. Yes, it will.
Because it was done in Dane. So
yeah,
you're going to have to be,
exactly.
either fluent on one side or be reading the bottom on the other side.
Yeah.
But no, it's an opportunity for folks to kind of see what folks in Denmark really think about the folks here in the Danish villages. And it's kind of funny, Stan, because you were telling me before we started here that really a lot of folks, and including the film crew and stuff, they weren't even aware that Elkhorn existed.
Did not have a clue that we even existed until, it's kind of funny story, Jim. It starts out kind of like a joke. It was a Danish filmmaker was in a bar in Kansas City, and he ran into a former graduate of Elkhorn, Nick Jensen, and Nick was telling him about Elkhorn. He'd never heard of it before. So he basically got a hold of Jacob Volver and his partner, and they came up and visited us one time with their cameras just for a short amount of time. Went back and sold the idea to the network over there on making this one-hour documentary. So that's how it all got started.
It just sounds so odd that they could not really much be aware of this place even being located here, not even existing, because you've got interns that come over here from universities in Denmark to observe and to do study work up there at the Danish Immigrant Museum. The Queen, for crying out loud, is a protector of the museum, so they're aware of that kind of stuff. It's amazing that word doesn't get around.
Yeah, it is, and especially with all the relatives that folks from Elkhorn still have back there, still keep in contact with, and of course, there's always people from Elkhorn that are going back over there, you know, but it just seems like it took the documentary to really make people pay attention, or maybe it was just, it got that bit much bigger of an audience. I think they said 750,000 people got to view it over there. So just that much bigger of an audience. And a lot of people I've heard from talked about it the next day at work. It's all everybody was talking about and got the buzz going. Whereas your relatives, you know, it's just like your aunts and uncles. They don't talk about Atlantic a whole lot probably, or, you know, where you're from. So that's the only way I can explain how it got going.
Well, word travels fast once the documentary hit. I know you guys have gotten a lot of response from over there, and you had a chance to experience that firsthand.
Yeah. We the network had Jordan Hansen and myself come over for the premiere of it. We flew over there on a Sunday. We landed over there Monday morning, and the premiere was on Wednesday night. We were actually on a couple radio stations in Denmark. Of course, they had to speak to us in English because the two of us don't know Danish. And then we were actually on the Afton show, which is like their version of the Tonight Show. Again, we weren't on there because it's closed caption or whatever. But they followed us around with film crews and taped us and stuff. And then we got to sit in on watching the premiere with about 30 of Onis's friends and family, which was probably one of the highlights to see their reaction and get to visit with them after it was over and see what they thought.
Were you concerned at all when you first met the film crew and heard about the project and things they got going about how they might portray? Because you never really know for sure.
Yeah, it was about 20% that they could really make a joke of us. You know, I would say I had about an 80% good feeling about it and about a 20% chance that they're going to try to make a joke of us. And, you know, up until even the moment when we got on the plane, when we landed in Denmark, in Copenhagen, Jordan said, "We don't know how this is going to turn out." I said, "Well, at worst case scenario, we get laughed at for 3 days and we get back on the plane and go home, you know." And laughing at yourself isn't the worst either. But as it went along, it seemed better, you know, it seemed like less and less of a chance. We were lucky when we first landed, we went to the motel and Onis brought his laptop over and showed us the documentary first. So then we had a little better idea of how it was laid out. Of course, we couldn't understand half of it, but he explained it to us. But yeah, there was that chance. There was definitely that chance.
Do you feel like they met their purpose in putting this together? Whatever they were looking for, they found here?
Yeah, I believe they did. Onis was really good. In fact, when he was on the Afton show, the Tonight Show, he told us, which was pretty meaningful to us, that before the show, he actually asked for the question. He asked the host to ask him the question, what can we take away from the folks in Elkhorn? And one of the things was they gotta be a little less serious, a little more laid back like we are. And another one of the big things that he said was try to keep it Danish in Denmark too. You know, here we've got a town of 650 people trying so hard to stay Danish and hold on to our Danish heritage. And he questioned, are we doing that right here in Denmark? Are we doing everything we can to hold on to our Danish heritage right here in Denmark? You know, so that was pretty neat.
I've done a number of interviews over the years with interns that have come over here. College students have come to intern at the Danish Immigrant Museum, and comparing and contrasting what they found here as to what they know back home. And almost every single one of them, 100% of the time, they tell me the same thing, that Elkhorn and Kimbolton, the Danish villages, they're more Danish than Denmark is anymore, because it's new world. It's all new. And, you know, World War II was pretty devastating to that part of Europe, too. A lot of those areas have been almost completely rebuilt, a lot of those cities and things. Mm-hmm. So when people seem to think that they're going to go see old world, it might not be as old world as they think.
Right, right.
Just kind of the nature of it.
Yeah.
Well, were they impressed with what was going on back here?
Yeah, they were very impressed. Other than the Evelskiver and Medistopol's combination, we've heard more about that. We've heard, in fact, they told us the night of the premiere, Honest told us that's actually what they wanted to name the film, was Evelskiver and Medistopol's, because that would catch so many of the people from Denmark, it would catch their attention, because they'd be like, what? These two things don't go together. But yeah, it's crazy combination, according to them, but it sure works for us up in Elkhorn.
Tivoli Fest is finished. It'll never work again if you don't do Evelskivers and Medistopol's.
I know it.
Yet they think it's funny like that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, sometimes you try to bring the old world with you. Maybe a few of the details get fuzzy. Maybe grandma's recipe has a couple of different ingredients in it. But, you know, in the end, you get it pretty close,
yep,
don't
exactly.
you?
Yeah, exactly. As long as we can keep it close. And a lot of them I shouldn't say a lot of them. I don't know a number, but some... quite a few, it sounds like, are planning a trip back for Tivoli Fest to help out and just take part in it. So,
well, and that's what I was going to ask you too. What's the long-term benefit for the community here? Do you see maybe lines of tourism opening up to a certain extent?
To a certain extent. I think it's, to be honest, I think it's small. I mean, they're 4,500 miles away. Seems like the folks in Denmark and in Europe and as a whole travel maybe long distances, maybe more than we do. But you know, we've got good lines of open communication directly with Denmark and a lot of people. You know, there's been so many emails and Facebook and Twitter, you know, new people following us on Twitter and stuff, and just raise the awareness. And like I said, there, you know, how many of them will actually make it over out of all the people over there? We don't know, probably a very, very small percentage, but we've got that open line of communication, and that's definitely a good thing for us.
Advertising is advertising. It's
That's
a good
right.
thing.
That's
you know,
right.
You never know once you've got that line going there, too. Well, do you expect to ever see or hear from these folks again? Will they do any follow-ups or anything at some point, or was this just
yeah.
kind of a one-time thing?
No, I think they'll be back. They'll be back. They're talking about coming back this fall for a follow-up and see how things have changed and how busy we are. And, you know, and it's been good, too. This I know this isn't part of the question, but it's been good, too, to revitalize us. You know, we get the same people that we feel like we're doing the same thing year after year after year. And I think this was kind of a boost and their interest sparked us again to get more interested in it. And I honestly feel like Tivoli Fest and Yule Fest, and it'll have a new spark to it for the next few years. Not only that, but we've had people that I actually have a lady that contacted me from Facebook, lives in New York City. She's coming out for Yule Fest just to volunteer. She doesn't care what she does. She's coming out from New York City for Yule Fest just to be a volunteer, you know, and the endless emails, and I've gotten mail at home. I've gotten a cookbook. A gal sent me a cookbook that she wrote, and just it's been that part's been overwhelming.
Well, it's a mobile society, so I assume that the Danishness of Elkhorn will become more and more diluted as time goes on. It's just a sociological way of life, I guess, the way people move around these days. But there's still no reason you can't hang on to that identity.
Exactly, exactly. And maybe part of it that where it is going to help is there's been talk of a dating service between Elkhorn and Denmark. You know, it'd be a long distance thing, but that's actually one of the crazy things. Not the craziest, but that's one of the things I've heard them talking about. You know, who knows? Who knows what'll happen next?
Who'd have thought, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Elkhorn's greatest export, it's young men and women.
You never know. You never know.
Well, good. Coming up Monday night, for those who haven't seen it, you don't have to be from Elkhorn to enjoy that, too. There are a lot of folks around here who have roots and friends and things in that area, so if you'd like to stop by and check that out, it'll be at the Elkhorn Town Hall this coming Monday, September 30th at 7 p.m., and there might be a little fellowship, perhaps. Danes kind of like that, don't they?
I'm sure there'll be something.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming by.
Hey, thanks for having us, and thanks for everything you do for Elkhorn. It means a lot to us. We appreciate it.